You know, it used to be I would wait until Friday, but now it's a Monday thing. I'll take that deck of yak coming off the weekend we did, Albie.
Yeah.
Amazing weekend. What's cracking? Welcome to the program. I am Jim Rome. Fired up. What a wild, wild NFL weekend that was. Let's get it. Phone lines are wide open. I will remind you, I'm coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need cash out of your home and a simple way to get it, Rocket can. Keep that in mind. Something else to keep in mind, I've got two interviews. You know, I've kind of changed up the format. Two interviews, and the reason I did that was primarily to give you more opportunities. I opened the program up. You have more opportunities. Take advantage of it. That's why I'm doing it. We always did three interviews for years and years and years. Now we do two. What does that mean? That opens up space for you. Take advantage of the opportunity. Telephone number is 1-800-636-8686. Use it now. Open phones in the first hour. If you want to hit me up on Twitter, you know that. You can hit me there at Jim Rome. You can email me too at Rome, R-O-M-E, at haveatake.com. So coming up at 10:20, that's our first interview. I've got Antoine Bethea, co-host of the Man to Man Pod, former NFLer. Lots to talk about, obviously, with him. I've got my full NFL roundup like I have every single Monday during the season. But Antoine Bethea joins me at 10:20. Coming up at 11:20, without question, one of the best stories in college football. Kansas. 4-0. Yes, I said it. Kansas is 4-0. Lance Leipold is their head coach. And although coaches don't like hearing this, and I know they have unfinished business, this dude is doing a miraculous job, an incredible job at Kansas. So they're 4-0 for the first time in forever. We'll have that at 11:20. Monday is an ATP day. Keep that in mind. Once again, 1-800-636-8686. Go ahead, hit me up right now. Even for the NFL roundup, I would bust open the format for the right call, honestly. Now, what's the right call? It's a very, very short list of who I would jack up my open for, but for the right call, I'll do it. In the meantime, if it sounds like I'm fired up, it's because I am fired up. I'm fired up. And this speaks to my actual resiliency. I'm fired up despite that hideous crap fest that I was subjected to last night. Because I see the bigger picture. I see NFL Week 3. However, if we're going with recency bias and the last thing I saw, it was that hideous crap fest last night. You know, the proverbial, if I wasn't getting paid to talk about this crap, I would never be watching this crap. Only worse. It was worse than that. Like, calling Broncos Niners color rush bad is an insult to color rush games. That game last night was an insult to the sport. That game last night was even a rough one for all you Trey haters. You know, the Trey area. Frisco, I hate to pile on by calling you Frisco because I know you're already in a bad way, Frisco. So I'll just call you the Trey area instead, Frisco. The Trey area, Frisco, spent the entire offseason debating between Lance and Jimmy G. Turns out that may have been a big waste of time. Not because Trey got hurt, but despite getting them to the Super Bowl, I'm not sure G is any more prepared for the big stage at this point than Lance was or wasn't. I mean, at least Trey Lance never pulled an Orlovsky.
Now, the big change
No. Not that Orlovsky. I'm not talking about the sneeze fart. All right, James Kelly, relax. Kelly, put the phone down. Kelly, do not G-chat me. Like, I'm looking down right now at my computer. I don't want to see that, Kelly. I don't want to see that, big head. I'm talking about not the sneeze fart. I never thought that I'd reach a point in my career where I would say the word fart on the radio, even. Even. Not even when I was in college radio did I do that. Yet here I am as a middle-aged dude on an internationally syndicated program, and it keeps coming up over and over and over again. Now, I'm not even talking about that. I'm talking, however, about the football equivalent of the sneeze fart. Jimmy G actually made stepping out of the back of the end zone look even worse than Orlovsky ever could, because Jimmy didn't just pull an Orlovsky, he combined it with a Wentz. He took a safety and he threw a pathetic jump ball for a pick six on the same play, a.k.a. one of the worst quarterback plays you will ever, ever, ever see.
Second and 10 from his own end zone. Garoppolo's out of the end zone. It's a safety. Remember, Dan Orlovsky did that. Stepped all the way out of the end zone. It's a safety, and that kills the play before everything else on the pick. So it is 7-5, and Trent Williams is shaken up for the Niners.
I don't know that I've ever seen a safety be a break for a team, but it certainly was there.
NBC on the call. I mean, what a devastating play. You know, Orlovsky and Wentz were both like, yes, yes, yes. Orlovsky might be off the hook, but Wentz is not. And then you lose Trent Williams, too. Like, I would say, luckily for the Niners, that only counted as 2 points for Denver, except those 2 points decided the game, which ended with a perfectly appropriate 11-10 score. An absolutely hideous final score for an absolutely hideous football game. Somehow, some way, by divine intervention and a miracle, Coach Ritt and Russ are actually 2-1.
Let's ride.
And they couldn't look. Let's ride.
Broncos country.
Let's hide.
Broncos country. Let's ride.
And my man, he was fired up, wasn't he, after the game? And he did tag his post-game interview on the field with, let's ride.
Broncos country.
Let's hide. Coach Ritt and Russ, somehow, somewhere, 2-1. And they could not look much worse. I mean, you are what your record says you are, except in their case. But they are currently tied with the Chiefs for first place in the allegedly toughest division in football. I think now would be a pretty good time for all of us, myself included, to stop saying that about the AFC West, because that's obviously not what that is. And I'm not being harsh at all when I say that they could not look any worse. I'm actually being generous. These dudes, 3-and-outed 9 times. Let me repeat that. They won a game in which they 3-and-outed 3 plays and off the field 9 different times.
9 times.
Russell Wilson looked like he was out there cooking with NyQuil. You see what I did there? We had that take last week where there are a bunch of bum asses cooking food in NyQuil. Coach Ritt looked like the actual Ritt.
Game on.
Which tells you all you need to know. Yet they're 2-1. Now, they might be the worst 2-1 team I've ever seen, but they're 2-1. Then you got the Buffalo Bills. Transition. The Buffalo Bills might be the best 2-1 team I've ever seen, but what does that mean? Especially given how banged up they are. That said, I'm not taking anything at all, away from those legends in South Florida. So why don't we move on to that game? Because that was a real football game between two real football teams. The only thing that Sunday Night Football and the Bills-Dolphins had in common was a hilarious safety, a.k.a. the butt punt.
I don't know. This is risky. It is, oh, my goodness. Blocked indeed. And we just told you he's only had one blocked in 14 years, and that was number 2. And look at where it comes in the game. Let's see if we can get a... Oh, it hit the personal protector, Sherfield. Hit his behind. It was not
butthole.
Buttocks.
Buttocks.
It gives a whole new meaning to kick and you know what.
Ass. Buttocks.
Butthole.
Butthole. Buttocks.
Butthole.
Truly one of the more bizarre plays you're ever going to see in that league. Somehow punting the ball straight off a blocker's ass and out of the back of the end zone was actually a decent development for the Dolphins. I have just never seen a butt punt before. Never. And neither has the cheetah himself.
Never seen a butt punt before, man. But I'm sure, you know, Trent is very, like, he's very smart. You know, like, so for him just to come to the sideline, you know, take ownership and all of that, you know, says exactly, you know, what kind of player he is, you know. So he's going to go into the film room, he's going to correct it, you know, and next time he's going to catch it with his butt cheeks because he got strong butt cheeks.
The next time he's going to catch it with his butt cheeks because he's got strong butt cheeks. I don't know what I like better. The Cheetah busts out of Kansas City, goes to Miami, completely revamps that team and gives them life, or the fact that he's allowed to talk now. Where was all this when he was in KC? The Cheetah is absolutely in fuego with his post-game comments this season. He's better after the game than he is during the game, and he's still like the most dangerous guy in the game. And he's third in the league in receiving yards right now, and I would still argue that he's better after the game than he is during the game. Except the butt punt did not end that game. In fact, he gave Buffalo one more drive and a potential look at a game-winning field goal until this happened.
Josh takes, fires a short one. This one caught by Isaiah McKenzie trying to head out of bounds, and McKenzie is brought down.
You got to get up and spike immediately. You got to get up and spike immediately.
5 seconds, 4 seconds, 3 seconds. They're running out of time. 1 second. That's it. Ball game. Game is over. McKenzie could not get out of bounds to stop it, and the Bills were slow to get back to the line of scrimmage, and this one ends with a Buffalo loss.
That was quite the game.
Yes, it was. I don't know where to begin with that one.
Yeah.
Yes, I think you guys do, because that was Bills radio. Brutal ending. Brutal ending. Like, get up, get up, get up, spike the ball. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Come on!
That's what I heard. That's what I saw. All I could think is they were trying to get to the line of scrimmage and they were rushing up and Josh Allen was trying to get guys set. It was 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Insert James.
Come on!
That jumped the weekend. There was no way James in Portland's manual buzzer was not going to jump the weekend. What a brutal ending. But not as brutal. And I got to admit, in watching the first couple of weeks, I thought, Ken Dorsey, man, he seems kind of cerebral. He seems kind of calm. He actually seemed pretty calm. You know, kind of nerdy and intellectual and, I don't know, like he was as a player. And then all of a sudden, at the end of the game, Dorsey went absolutely berserk. He went drowning pool on the coaching booth when they could not get the clock stopped.
The clock.
Dude is 3 games into his offensive coordinator career, and he's already destroyed a coaching booth like he's Led Zeppelin wrecking a room at the Hyatt House on Sunset. I mean, this dude makes TV45's tablet abuse seem straight up tame. That was an incredible act. An incredible act. And don't at me with Rome. He had every right to be pissed. I'm not saying he didn't. I'm just saying it was incredible the way he wrecked that hotel room or coaching box. And Motley Crue back in the day couldn't do that kind of damage. And speaking of TB45, his big meeting of the GOATs was completely upstaged by the Finns and the Bills and pretty much everything else that happened yesterday because, let's admit it, Brady and Rodgers was pretty much a freaking snooze. Last night's 11-10. Is one of the most revolting final scores ever. Maybe the most revolting final score ever, but 14-12 ain't a hell of a lot better. And Bucks-Packers was as butt ugly as that score. I mean, for the first 58 minutes of that game, the most thrilling thing that happened was TB45 scrambling and ambling for a first down. And somehow not disintegrating into dust right there on the field, right before our eyes.
Ducks away from a sack. He's going to run. He's going to get it, but there's a flag. Brady all the way up near midfield.
Fox on the call. This dude went from GOAT and a Dadonis.
He looks like a Dadonis.
To a poor man's Kevin Bacon and the leader of an offense with absolutely no juice whatsoever. Now, I'm not saying that it's all his fault, because it's not. He was missing a lot of his weapons. But the case in point, that horrifying zombie scramble is what counts for thrilling offense in Tampa these days. I turned to my son, Rogan Loam, and said, hey, pretty funny, Junior. Pretty funny, Junior, putting the game on in slow-mo for me. I didn't even know we could do that on our smart TV. You know, I'm old and all. I didn't know you can do stuff like that. I'm barely smart enough to figure out how to do that on my smartphone. Hey, but do me a favor, Rogan Loam. Stop jerking with the controls. I'm trying to get some work done here. To which he said was, I didn't do anything, Pop.
Rogan Loam.
I didn't do anything. I mean, damn. Kevin Bacon is all up in here. TB45 is all up in here speed walking like it was the combine all over again when he ran that 8 flat in the 40. But give the dude this. Give Bacon this 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon. He did what he had to do, well, to his face and to that offense. And then finally, on the last drive of the game, old man Brady got his creaky old bones all the way down the field to finally score the first and only Tampa TD with 14 seconds left in the game, and now we're in business. And everybody who had Green Bay plus 1.5 had to be a little bit concerned. And he spent so much energy doing so, though, he immediately had a senior moment on the two-point conversion when he had a chance to tie that game.
Brady in the shotgun, two-point try. Takes the snap, hands the ball off, and the Bucs are guilty of a delay of game.
Prior to the ball being snapped, delay game.
It just took too long to get out of the huddle on that.
Dang, try.
Even though James in Portland was on Twitter trying to drag the big head and I into his love for OU, and that didn't work, I guarantee he was watching Tom Brady getting them lined up for a two-point conversion only to see them get flagged for delay of game. And then thought to himself, that'd be a good place for a James in Portland manual buzzer.
Come on!
Brady has played like 100 years. And still does not realize that it's easier to get 2 yards than it is 7. Kind of blows my mind. How can the greatest quarterback ever take a delay of game at home on a two-point conversion to tie?
I'm 45 years old, man. There's a lot of going on.
There is a lot of bleep going on, dude. I get it. And you look like it. Not a great day for TB45. Not a great day for Ken Dorsey. Not a great day for Jimmy G. Not a great day for anybody who stayed up to watch Sunday Night Football last night. But nobody had a worse week 3 than the former QB of the Eagles and the Colts because the Carson Wentz, quote, revenge game turned into the latest Carson Wentz catastrophe game and another Jalen Hurts coronation. Like, Frisco might be a little bit confused this morning about who they actually want quarterbacking their team. Not that they have a choice. But there is absolutely no mystery in Philly this morning because, holy crap, Jalen Hurts is still balling the hell out and getting better by the week. And as far as Wentz goes, he had an opportunity to make an ex jealous and instead showed that ex that dumping his ass was the best decision that ex ever made. Wentz was horrible. I mean, he was horrendous. But don't take my word for it. Take it from the guy himself.
Definitely not good enough. You know, hats off to them. That's a good defense. It's a good team. They got after us, and yeah, I did not play to my standards, and especially early. I think that's tough, and unfortunately, back-to-back weeks kind of dug ourselves a hole there, and I got to be better, especially early on, so that we're not, you know, having to throw the whole second half and let them play coverage and do some things differently. So I got to be better.
Dude, did you start that off by saying that you were not good enough? Saying that you're not good enough is not good enough.
Definitely not good enough.
I mean, what you then went on to say was, we have to do this better. I have to start better. I have to start faster. So we're not playing catch up the entire second half. You mean, essentially, you have to stop being you. Definitely he didn't play to his standard. That's pretty alarming because that standard is pretty terrible. But he's right. He was even worse than he normally is. This dude got sacked 9 times.
9 times.
He averaged 2.9 yards per pass. He fumbled twice. He lost it once. I mean, like, you never really know what you're going to get with Carson Wentz other than when he's good, he's aight. And when he's bad, he's horrible. But he was so much worse than that in a game that you know he wanted worse than the Super Bowl. Meanwhile, Jalen Hurts was so good that his MVP odds are still going up. He was plus 800 a week ago, which was a revelation into itself. And now he sits at plus 700. Dude is the breakout star of the season so far, and Carson Wentz is still just Carson Wentz. So, Philly fan has got to be feeling amazing this morning. Wait, there's more. Nobody is having a better Monday. I saved the best for last than the Dolphins and Dolphin fan, because the biggest story in the NFL right now is still the Finns and their cojones.
Cocojones.
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 Look, if you're going to talk nonstop about brass sets and needing a wheelbarrow to carry them around, you got to back that up. And the way you back that up is by doing exactly what the Dolphins did yesterday. Even the quarterback showed off his cojones.
Cocojones.
When he returned to the game after bouncing his dome off the turf and then stumbling back to the sideline like he was on some wicked bender after a crazy bar crawl. Yes, it was probably reckless and dangerous to run him back out there. Yes, the Players Association immediately launched an inquiry with the league about his return to the game. And we'll see if and what anything comes from that. But clearly, that dude, Tua, was not going to abandon that fight. None of them were going to abandon that fight, despite the fact that dudes on both sides were dropping from heat-related illnesses. Speaking of hot, the Dolphins are not just hot. They're not just some cute little story. They're straight legit. And they better purchase a few more wheelbarrows, because those cocojoneses are swelling as we speak.
Cocojoneses
are about making it happen. And right now, nobody is doing a better job of making it happen than Tua, Cheetah, Waddle, Coach McD, and the rest of the Dolphins. I just hope that we never have to actually see any of them catch a football with their cheeks. Although Tyreek says they could. I'm telling you, the Dolphins are going to make a lot of opposing coordinators go Ken Dorsey on their play call sheets. Dorsey will be fine. The Bills should be fine. But if we're being real, if there was a camera in my office last night, I was Ken Dorsey during that Niner game. I was throwing Apple products, which I love, all over the place. Dodger Jano ran in the room to cover up the camera. In other words, Ken Dorsey was actually pulling a Vance Mack. Ken Dorsey was pulling a me. I haven't even gotten to the Jags yet.
It's almost like they killed me.
I'll give the Jags their own take. They earned it. They deserve it. Telephone number is toll free, 1-800-636-8686. A monster opening block coming off a monster NFL weekend. Why don't you jump in here? Come and get some. What do you want to talk about? College football is good too. Anything you want. Just have a take. Don't suck. Everything matters. Everything matters. Make it count. A good reward is a good cigar, right? It's a tradition. And a famous smoke shop, they know all about it. Great cigars have been their family business since 1939. American-owned and independent, Famous Smoke is your neighborhood cigar shop, no matter where your neighborhood is. With an enormous selection of over 1,000 brands to choose from at Famous Smoke Shop, you will find amazing deals on everyday cigars, highly rated classics, cigar boxes, samplers, and more, all under one roof, all at discount prices. And don't forget, every cigar is backed by their 30-day freshness guarantee, so your cigars arrive fresh or you get your money back. That's why Famous Smoke was named the best place to buy cigars online by Cool Material and Cigar World. And remember, you do not have to be famous to smoke their cigars. To save $10 off your purchase of $50, go to famous-smoke.com. That's famous-smoke.com. And use the code ROME10 or text ROME10 to 511-511. Get your favorite cigars delivered fast, including Romeo, Acid, Macanudo, and more. Text ROME and the number 10 to 511-511. Or go to famous-smoke.com today. You might receive up to one additional text, and text fees may apply. Text STOP to opt out.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Push that thing out further and further every single day. That open can run right into the sports update. That first hour may soon be a two-segment hour. Who cares about the clock? Hey, I got a question.
The clock.
Why is Old Trapper beef jerky so amazing? Well, there is something to be said for a family business. a family business which stands by quality and produces the world's finest beef jerky. Do not be fooled by other brands. All beef jerky is not the same. Make sure you choose Old Trapper. You can actually see the quality right through their iconic Clearview packages. Every single bite of Old Trapper is tender. It's never tough because they use just the best ingredients from their lean strips of beef, seasoned with top quality spices to their real wood-fired smoke. Old Trapper delivers quality in every single bite, and Old Trapper jerky comes in four mouthwatering flavors. You have old-fashioned, classic beef jerky flavor, exceptionally tender, smoky and delicious. You have teriyaki with the yellow label. Old Trapper turned the flavor dial to 11, hot and spicy with a spice so nice you'll want to snack twice, and peppered, tender, seasoned beef covered in cracked pepper. It is a cold beer's best friend. So grab and go with a 4-ounce bag or load it up with an 18-ounce bag where there's enough for the entire team. If you don't see it, ask for Old Trapper by name because no other jerky compares. Old Trapper, what's your beef? Let's see some reaction. Let's see if your reaction is as good as my takes. We already know it's not. I wish it were, but let's see. Hey, Rome, great 11-10 win for Coach Ritt. His kids' little league carried him off the field. Let's all go to Dairy Queen. Yay! Aaron in Iowa. That was a little league score. And I've seen more exciting games in peewee games than that one. Again, that was the proverbial. If they didn't pay me, there's no way in hell I'm watching that. And Trader Brent, really enjoyed watching TB45 speed walking. Like those kooks at the Olympics, doing everything they can not to break stride while looking like they're trying to make it home before they have a dump in their pants.
You have a big dump in your pants.
I think that's kind of disrespectful. I mean, those are Olympians. That is an Olympic sport. If speed walking to get home before you dumped in your pants were an Olympic sport, that's it, Rome. I've listened for 25 years. Don't you dare disrespect my great-grandfather who got a bronze medal in 1928 in the speed walking games. It's not easy. It's not easy. It's not easy to keep a foot on the ground at all times. Try it. While having to take a big dump in your pants. Who said that? Trader Brent.
You have a big dump in your...
I never, ever, ever, of all the sound drops on this show, I guess I should have known better, but did you ever think that Peter McNeely would stand the test of time? The guy had 15 minutes, but has had like 15 years on the show as a drop. That's the incredible thing. I just hope my man doesn't wake up one day and say, hey, wait a minute. Really? Shouldn't I get royalties off that? No. No. If anybody should be getting royalties off anything, it should be me for everything. Right? For all the Rome copycats, I should get a piece of all that action. So no, Pete, my man, I will thank you for uttering an amazing statement that I got use of. But no.
If any one of you...
The entire internet owes me money if that's the case.
What I'm doing or what I've been doing for the last 3 months since it's been announced. And going against a guy like this, you'd have a big dump in your pants.
Incredible. That's that comment in full. The full context. This says, Rome. At this point, it looks as if Ritt is actually out there calling the offensive side of the ball for the Broncos. If they hand him a hot cocoa at any point, you will not be able to convince me otherwise. Jeff from PDX. I mean, it's true. They look exactly alike. And watching the play call, how do I know that it's actually an NFL coach and not Ritt himself? Then again, Ritt, whichever Ritt it is, the actual Ritt or the lookalike Ritt, 2-1. Cannot really take that away from either one of those Ritts. Let's Ritt. That's what I want. I want to hear Russ say that at the end. Let's Ritt. Hey, Bronco Nation, let's Ritt. Wouldn't that be great? Dear Rome.
Seattle.
Hey, Seattle.
Hey, Seattle.
Hey, Denver, let's Ritt.
We got a deal.
Dear Rome, we don't know why it was so hard for Buffalo to get a win in Miami yesterday. We did it on Saturday. Signed Middle Tennessee State U. Such a good call. What a bad loss, and what an amazing win. Yeah, I don't think the Canes are back. My man Mario Cristobal, I understand why they brought him back, but they're not back. Not if they're losing to MTSU. And MTSU rightfully talking junk afterwards. Haunted Horse is in. James, I am done with Jimmy Garbage. Done.
Now I'm done.
That's the take. He sucks. And him sucking is a take, Jim. Bitter much, Frisco? You have every right to be, though. I got to admit, and I'll own it, I was one of those guys saying you never want to see somebody get hurt. And especially Trey Lance, and especially the manner in which he was hurt. However, in the short term, this may actually work out. It might be a better thing. It might be a better thing because Jimmy G knows that system. Jimmy G is in a prove-it year. He's in a contract year. He comes back to a great, great roster. He's in a good situation. This might actually be better. In fact, their odds of winning it all actually went up when Lance went down. And then Jimmy G goes out there and does what he did last night. Namely, suck. Hey, Romy, I'm looking for some good February dog poop sandwich recipes. War Eagles. And first of all, it's horse poop. It's not dog poop. And rightfully so, dude. Philadelphia looks awesome. Philadelphia looks like the team to beat in the NFC right now. If their defense continues to play the way it is, and Jalen Hurts is that much better and getting better, they may be the team to beat. Like, I can look at any team in the NFC right now and find a fatal flaw. It's hard to find one with Philadelphia. They look great. Great. And there she is. You knew I was going to call out for her. She beat me to it. Ms. Nika at Nika989 tweets, quote, "Remember when Urban Liar sat James Robinson for Carlos Hyde? James Robinson remembers, wore Doug P for knowing what the hell he's doing. Wore you, Queen, for knowing what the hell you're doing. The thing is, I've not forgotten about you, nor have I forgotten about your team. The Jags get their own take. I love it. And one more, Jimothy. I would like to take a moment to congratulate Doug Peterson for tying Pervin Liar for wins as Jaguars head coach in only his third game. Hey, coach, go ahead and take a night out on the team. Vince in Illinois. War Coach P not being concerned about facing Alabama every week.
A lot of good players in this league, man.
Yeah, there are.
It's Alabama every week.
Yeah.
It's a lot of good players in this league. Right, Perv. It's the NFL. The best players are in that league. Great take, Perv. It's a lot of good players in this league. It's like playing Alabama every week. Great take. The second that sound went viral, he should have been fired. All right, when we come back, we're still open right now. Good takes. Good reaction. Can't wait to talk about the Jags. Remember I said last week, there was a point where I was talking about the Jags and it felt so awesome because they were so awesome. And we got on the streak where I would start the show with Jags takes. And then Perv showed up. And then I had to keep talking about them, but for all the wrong reasons. And now I can talk about Duval again for the right reasons. And it pumps me up. For me to be sitting here in Southern California hosting a nationally syndicated program and hyping the Jags feels good.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Monday, always an ATP day. Ask the Pros, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. So what you want to do is go to CBSSportsRadio.com/AskThePros. You have to go to that Addy. Don't go to Twitter. Don't go to my normal email address. Go to CBSSportsRadio.com/AskThePros. Submit a question. Listen later on. I might answer one of yours. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Quickly, Rome, what are you talking about? That Broncos game against the Niners was a thing of beauty. Regards, punters across America. Eric in Castle Rock. I thought that during that game last night. The punters were so much better than the quarterbacks. The punters were so much better than the quarterbacks. The punting was so much better than the quarterbacking. It was like a punter's showcase. It was amazing. All right, so this just in. Andrew Bogish had this in his update. And in case you missed it, Rob Matty tweets. He's an AP lead NFL writer. Quote, I'm told the NFL is replacing the Pro Bowl with the Pro Bowl games. A week of skills, competitions for AFC, NFC players, culminating with a flag football game at Allegiant Stadium on February 5th. Peyton Manning's at Omaha prod will be involved. Peyton will also coach in the flag game. I mean, there's so many amazing things in that. First of all, I love when they dropped it. You want to talk about a Monday morning news dump. Like right in the middle of all this stuff, like nobody's going to notice. Number two, and this is in no order of importance. I can't believe it. They did it. They finally did the humane thing. They took that dog out back and they put it down. For how many years have I been saying, nobody gives a damn. Don't play this game. Everybody wants to be invited and nobody wants to play. Nobody wants to watch it. Stop jamming this down our throats. It doesn't work. It doesn't matter. It's far outlived its usefulness. I'm not sure there ever was any usefulness. But deep down, I knew that they would never make it go away. And yet here we are. Here the bleep we are. I can't believe it. So why don't we think about the Pro Bowl for a minute? What do you remember? If we play word association or phrase association and I say to you, you say to me the very first thing that pops into mind. All right? Ready? Pro Bowl. Crappy football. Pro Bowl. Biggest waste of time ever. Oh, one more thing. They're replacing it with a skills competition and a flag football game. That flag football game best not be played at the beach. That flag football game best not be played on sand. Just some unsolicited advice. Number two, when you think about the Pro Bowl, other than years and years and years of horrible football, what do you think of? What's the first thing that comes to mind? I think we're all in agreement on this. And this should tell you all you need to know about the Pro Bowl and what a waste of time that was. Time that we'll never get back. You think first and foremost of the idiot kicker.
Here we are. I'm out of my third Pro Bowl. We're talking about our idiot kicker who got liquored up and ran his mouth off. So what has the sports world come to? We're talking about idiot kickers. He has ruined kickers for life. Akers and Vinatieri, these guys are great guys. They've been getting killed all week because our idiot ran his mouth. So when I get home, I'll deal with it. Tony and I talk about it. It's kind of funny, really, when you think about it. If he is still a teammate, we'll deal with it. You know, that remains to be seen. But the sad thing is, Lynn, he's a good kicker. He's a good kicker, but he's an idiot.
It's absolutely amazing that Peyton Manning said that. When I get back, Tony Dungy and I will talk about it if he's still on the team. He was talking about Mike Vanderjack. Mike Vanderjack explained what he meant when he said what he said.
All week before the Jets game, I'm like, you know, 18, you know, we're going to handle it.
Back that up. My bad, Albie. My bad. This is what Vanderjack said. Excuse me, my bad. This is what Vanderjack said that set Peyton off.
All week before the Jets game, I'm like, you know, 18, you know, we're going to handle it. Me and you, we're going to win this game. And he's like, well, yeah, okay. I'm like, Peyton, come on, show some enthusiasm. You're the quarterback. We need to win this game. And I just don't see it from him. Some guys have it, some guys don't, you know. And Coach Dungy, he's just a mild-mannered guy. He doesn't get too excited. He doesn't get too down. And I don't think that works either. I think you need a motivator. I think you need a guy that's going to get in somebody's face when they're not performing well enough. Peyton and Tony are basically the same guy. I'm not a real big Colts fan right now, unfortunately. I just don't see us getting better.
Holy crap. Why not drag the owner while you're at it? That would be like Ritt calling me out. No offense, Ritt. None taken, I'm sure. That is incredible. Some guys have it and some guys don't. But you mean like arguably the greatest quarterback ever didn't have it? That is an incredible statement. When you hear that, you think, man, not only did Peyton not overreact, he didn't go hard enough. Like, come on, 18. It's going to be you and me here. And you're not showing me anything. Come on, man. Because the kicker had to kick the greatest quarterback ever and a guy who prepared unlike anybody ever in the ass to get him going. Incredible. What else do you think about when you think about the Pro Bowl? This absolutely insane moment when Sean Taylor unloaded on punter Brian Moorman.
Yeah. Brian Moorman is going to fake it on the run, and he's going to come up short. Oh! Sean Taylor!
I don't know if it was a fake. It might be he just decided to run with it, but Sean Taylor came from about 30 yards back.
I don't know what was better about that moment. That Sean Taylor brought that kind of intensity and lumber to a Pro Bowl game, or that Moorman pop right back up. Equally incredible. And that right there, and honorable mention, Barry Switzer jamming a hot dog in his face on the sideline during the game. Those are the three things, and horrible football, make it four. That will forever be the legacy of the Pro Bowl. RIP. And it's about time. Finally. As great as Peyton was, that Vanderjack statement will always be better. Stay tuned.